Hello,
and welcome to episode four of the Growing Up Tidy podcast.
I'm Mindy.
And I'm Chloe, and we are Love Your Space. Today we wanted to talk about all things New Year related. So we have some topics outlined to go over. We want to talk about taking down Christmas properly and getting it kind of in a position where you're ready for the next time you want to pull that out next year.
So next year when you pull it out, you don't go, gosh, I was going to do that and I didn't. And now it's a mess again.
Now I don't even want to do this. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, New Year overwhelm, and we're going to tease our updated newsletter for you guys. So let's start off by talking about taking down Christmas.
Yeah. I'm curious where everyone else is at. This year was a little bit different for me because I normally would, we have a real tree. We put it up early December, and usually I don't take it down until around about the New Year. But this year we were going to be away and coming back right at New Year's, and I didn't want to come back, have all the laundry, catch up, all that stuff, and still have Christmas to take down. So I took it down actually on the 27th. But I know a lot of you are traditional and historical Christmas celebrators, and it doesn't come down, I think, until the 6th of January.
Yeah, I am still seeing lots of outdoor lights set up too.
Yeah. And I know my BFF, she leaves her tree up sometimes right into February.
Lots of people leave them up for quite a long time. Yeah. And so whether or not you are thinking about already starting to do this now or in the next few days, or if you're not even planning to do this for a while, maybe even a month, let's talk about how we can do it efficiently and in a way that's going to help us out for the next year. So when you're taking down your seasonals, you want to make sure, well, number one, they all should be stored in the same place.
Yes,
and
definitely.
This isn't always possible, so don't worry if you can't make this a possibility for yourself based on the storage space you have. But if you could at least do each like seasonal category together, having all your Christmas stuff at least together is really going to help you out.
And if you're using the same ornaments year after year on your mantle, like you have a garland you use and then you put, you know, your sprays in or whatever, put them all together, obviously, so that when it's time to do the mantle, you have everything for that area all in one spot.
Exactly.
The other thing I think people often neglect is to purge them. And they'll just keep adding, oh, well, we did a different theme this year, so we put the, you know, family favorites on and then these new themed ones. That's awesome that you do that, that you change it up, but be mindful that every time you go out and get new ones that you don't purge, that you're adding to the mass of stuff that you're storing. So are you accumulating to accumulate, or are you being, you know, intentional about what's in your storage room? Because it all adds up. After years and years and years, trust us, it's going to add up. So you'd be really smart to every year when you're putting it away or taking it out, or both. Take opportunity both times when you're pulling it out and putting it away
to really look at what you have.
Do I want this anymore?
Yeah.
Do the kids want this now? Or is this donatable? Or is this just something that the kids made me, you know, in 1969 and it's now really not special because it's fallen apart or whatever, you know.
And never go to extremes. I mean, we don't need to get rid of all of our old Christmas decorations just because we got new ones. Especially some people for Christmas, it's a huge thing for their families. So maybe you'd have another tree down in the basement, or we had a kid tree growing up where mom would let us put the more fun kind of homemade decorations up, and then her tree was kind of don't touch,
the show tree.
So if you have space for something like that, that's a great opportunity to use those old decorations. If you're never going to use them again, there's really no point. So really think about it intentionally with like how you are going to use those items.
Exactly.
If you're not going to again, and you might switch them out again, keep them, you know what I mean?
And if you have the space and you're not sure, then keep them. But if you're struggling with space, then that's probably why you're here. Then the solution with not enough room and too much is to reduce how much you have.
And it would be silly to not edit every year.
Yes.
Your seasonals.
Absolutely.
It would be.
Yeah. So. And things creep in there. Like I know this year, for example, when I opened my, I have a special bin for like all of the Christmas tree ornaments.
Right.
And when I opened that up this year, there was this little gold elf in there. I'm like, where did this come from? Who's like, I have no idea where that little guy even came from. And it happens because like the busyness of the season, you know, things can kind of get mixed in there.
It's the busiest time
definitely
of year. It was crazy even for me. I mean, I had just I just moved into my first little house. So it was like right a couple weeks before Christmas. So there was a lot going on. And for me, it was probably the first Christmas that was not fun.
Yes.
And just felt like constant stress and I need to do this and this and this. And it was a lot.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over.
You know what? Next year, that's a good topic for roundabout November. I'd love for us to put this somewhere we can remember to talk about the expectation of Christmas.
It's
on it in November this year, but I'd love to dive deeper into that so that people can give themselves permission to not keep up expectations that they have, so that they can be real about how they can enjoy Christmas and not make it as
well. And especially in the last few years, I mean, none of us have any money, and we're spending money that we don't have on presents because
we
feel like we have to, right? It's hard. It's a difficult time of year, and I feel for anyone who struggled financially over this time to meet expectations.
So, speaking of expectations of ourselves, let's add. New Year's resolutions provide an enormous expectations on ourselves.
New Year's resolutions are one of those things that, and I don't know, maybe it's just because we've always lived here. So maybe in Canada, I don't know. I know they do this a lot in the States too. It goes crazy. But I feel like around this time of year, the whole world, especially the 2 weeks leading up to New Year's Day, what's my New Year's resolution going to be? Is it going to happen?
What should I be focusing on for a change?
Yeah, everyone's asking what you're doing and what's going to change for you this year. And it's very, very stressful. It's a lot, especially since it's all kind of dominoing right after you don't even feel like you had that break of Christmas yet being over. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden,
breathe. And now it's like, what are you going to do to change your life radically this year?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but for me, like, it's just all of a sudden 2023. I don't feel like I got to prepare for that because it was just Christmas is so crazy. And now it's like, whoa,
now it's here.
It's New Year's Day. What? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just went by so crazy. And so I didn't even make a New Year's resolution.
Do you usually?
I've tried. I feel like it's something I tried to do more when I was like early teens, because I think that back then is when I first started to hear adults talking about it so much. And
so
even just people at school.
Well,
that's the whole thing, right? There's a lot of pressure this time of year in how you're going to make a new year, new you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I like that.
Well, I know sometimes it can work against you.
Yeah.
Because it can set this huge high expectation that feels too attainable. Like I can relate this back to people in their own storage room saying, well, it's so far gone now that I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
And I feel like for some people, a resolution does that. Like it makes it like, okay, I have this whole year.
Because there's so much pressure. Yeah.
Yes, it's overwhelming. It's like, well, what do I focus on?
And you're just supposed to start.
How am I going to get there?
And be consistent all of a sudden.
And we often pick habits that are not pleasant to get rid of, like sugar, alcohol, you know, binge eating.
I hear people smoking all the time. I'm going to quit smoking.
Yeah. Like,
that's the issue with the resolutions is we're talking about what our resolution is, not how we're going to achieve it.
Yes.
And so what we should be shifting our focus to, I think, is how to create healthy habits, how to actually achieve these goals.
Yes.
In reality, not in just, this is something I want to do. Let's figure out how we can actually do it.
I feel like, at the end of every year, I'll sit and reflect on, especially since I've had my own business, I'll sit and reflect on like where I've come from and achievements made, not to pat myself on the back as much, but just to reflect so that I can be like, okay, well, where am I going for this next year?
Right.
I prefer to look at things as a goal setting opportunity instead of a resolution.
I like that a lot because then, there's no more pressure there.
Right. And also I have a process that I use to help me come up with goals that I want to implement.
Okay.
So I feel like when I sit and do that, it helps me to envision and not just say, well, my goal is to eat healthier.
Right.
Well, that's all well and good, but how am I going to do that? And when I can sit and break it down and say, okay, well, these are the things I want to achieve. And then I can say, okay, well, what's going to motivate me in each of these areas to take steps towards those goals? And then I can break it down.
Yeah.
And then I can say, okay, well, if it means convenience, then I'm going to have to meal prep. If I'm going to have to meal prep, what do I like for foods that I'll realistically eat? And how am I going to plan to get the groceries for all of those meals that I'm going to prep? And I find when you sit and you identify the goal and then say, okay, what are my challenges to get there? And then figure out a way to overcome the challenges. Usually it's motivation.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can figure out a way to get there instead of saying, well, this year I'm going to do this. Well, that's great.
This is really interesting to me too, because like the overarching theme of Love Your Space is not actually, but something that we preach a lot is telling people that the overwhelm that they feel in their home is completely normal and natural because you can't picture the end.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We talk about this all the time. You can't picture the outcome, what it's really going to look like when you're living in a mess or whatever. And yes, it's so much harder when it's your stuff and blah, blah, blah. But we don't apply that at all to our actual lives. We just talk about it and how it relates to the organizing process. And I think that's interesting because what you just brought up is exactly how we treat
it is
the organizing process, but it's not how we treat ourselves and our expectations for ourselves. So I think this is kind of a wake up call. We need to be giving ourselves a little bit more grace, especially this time of year, and understanding, like, you know, I may have this goal. I may really want to start eating more greens or whatever it is, but you know, that might be difficult for me. I've never liked them or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Or maybe they're not as available at where you typically get your groceries, and it's a big deal for you to go across town. Like, there are so many things that if you sit and break it down, you can really be like, okay, that's my obstacle.
And we always talk about this with organizing. So let's apply it to our lives and, and kind of take it slower.
Yeah. Well, and something else I feel like we could really talk about here in setting the goals is understanding that it takes time to get.
And accepting where you are now. Yes.
And being like, okay, this is where I am right now. And this is where I want to go. I'm going to have to create some habits around this in order to make these changes. Habits and understanding why and how you're doing things are really insightful into changing the habit. Yeah. Like, if you can be like, well, every time I eat a big meal, I want to smoke. Or every time I have something really salty for a meal, I always think I deserve a little chocolate reward.
Right.
Or I don't know, what are some other things people are trying to give up? Let's say alcohol. Mm-hmm. So let's say maybe for a couple of months you have to avoid social outings where you know there's going to be a bar, or like really look at it and say,
and you're going to have to understand then when you lay it out and realize how you're going to do it, then you have to look at if you're gonna, because once you see the steps that it takes, I mean, nothing worth having comes easy.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're going to say, okay, I want to save more gas this year, that's my New Year's resolution, but you don't kind of break it down and think, well, if I'm going to save more gas, I need to look at how much extra driving I'm doing. I need to look at, you know what I mean? If you're not going to do any of that, you're not going to save any more gas.
No. And then you're just going to feel shitty about yourself.
Exactly. And that's the thing. These New Year's resolutions, it's like all this societal pressure, and then you just get more, pardon my French, you just get more shit on when you don't kick the habit or whatever. But it's like, we don't talk about how to do it. We just talk about that we're gonna.
Yep.
And obviously everyone's struggling and then feeling down on themselves when they can't.
Yep. And the ticket, the answer, the solution is habits.
Yes.
Like 100% it's habits. And how you get there is, you know, part of the journey too. What motivational factors do you need? All of that.
And that's why it's different for everyone.
100%.
And I mean, you kicking a habit could take way longer or way shorter than it
months,
could take someone else.
Or it might take 2 weeks.
Because we're all different, and that has a lot to do with it too.
And also how frequently the change that you're trying to make has been happening for you previously. In other words, like, how often would you be faced with this thing that you're trying to quit or change.
Yeah.
So if that habit has only come up for you once every 3 months, then it's probably going to take you a whole year to get through and break the and change the routines and habits. But if it was something you did 5 times a day, it's probably only going to take you 2 or 3 weeks.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? And also, I feel like there isn't going to be a right answer. So if you talk to Susie and Susie's working on the same goal and it took her 3 days, but you're still struggling at 3 weeks, then that's okay. You know, the Susie, good for her. And, you know, it's great that that worked for her so quickly, but it didn't for you. Maybe take a step back and say to yourself or ask yourself, what is different for me? Or what's the obstacle that keeps coming up that I'm not, this routine or this habit's not sticking?
There's so much comparison to involved in that. That's what even things like home shame and stuff like that come from is comparison. Comparing. And it really does kill us.
Yeah, definitely. It really does. And I love when I see people post real life.
Me too.
Because usually all we see is the happy, clean, wonderful, Pinterest worthy, Instagram worthy, you know, fancy, elaborate homes. Well, most of us don't live like that.
And that's because they only show us what they want to see. And that's a whole other.
Absolutely.
That would be a great conversation.
But just be careful to not be comparing yourself to someone who you're only knowing through their best on social media, because they're not putting usually.
And even if you know them in person, because you know how there's tons of little things that you would maybe almost just die if you knew someone knew about you or whatever. We know we're always with ourselves, right? So it's so easy to pick on ourselves and, you know, but you're never with anyone else all the time. And everybody, trust me, everybody's got their stuff they're dealing with. Even the people that you think have it all figured out.
Yep. We all,
there's a list of things they don't know. No, we don't know what we're doing. So that's something to remember too. You're not alone here. If you're feeling incredibly overwhelmed this time of year, just know that there's some others that are feeling like that too. And it's going to get better.
Yep.
Everything's
definitely
temporary. We're going to get through it.
Yep. Definitely.
And there's a lot of people dealing with the blues of the season too. I mean, it's so dark, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting a lot of sun. It's cold. Nobody wants to go outside. And
it's going to be for a while. And we know that.
Yep.
So, and then there's the whole population of us like myself, where when we get home from wherever it is that we have to be at the end of the day, like, I'm not going back out.
Right. You know? Right. Like, and you don't want to. You just want to burrow.
I just
want to
nest.
And yes. And it's the complete opposite from the warmer months where
you can't wait to get outside.
Yeah. And you're bummed at work because you want to be outside. But now
and
we've got,
and it's sunny when you get done work and you're like, yay, life is good.
And now we have a lot of the population going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, you guys. I'm sorry if you're struggling with that.
And if your house is feeling overwhelming after Christmas and you are feeling, you know, the winter blues coming on, it might be a really good idea to think about trying to break up the project of getting your house decluttered a little bit and creating some space there where you don't have to feel that same sadness. And I actually guarantee you that if you take some steps to do a drawer or a closet or a small little area, maybe your earring jewelry box, it will make you feel better.
You'll feel a little better.
100% you'll feel better. But don't go into a project saying, well, Mindy said if I clean out my pantry that I'll feel better. Well, choose something really tiny that you're going to be like, okay, yay, I did that. That will be a quick and easy win, because those quick and easy wins will help you to not feel
and
as sad.
And celebrate. Reward yourself for the little wins.
Mm.
Don't let that feel silly. That's not silly. Every little thing that you do, every step you take is closer and closer. We always say little by little, it becomes a lot. It always is. It's really true. If you are feeling overwhelmed right now in the state of your home, even rehoming 5 items a day.
Yes.
When you see it there, that will make a difference for you. If it's too much to attack right now, baby steps. Start slow.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add here, since we're talking about overwhelm and the connection between, you know, making your home feel less overwhelming and that lifting your spirits, I feel like it's important to identify, am I struggling because I have too much, or am I struggling because the things that I have are a reasonable quantity, but they don't have a place to go.
Right.
Because that's a very different approach. Mm-hmm. If you really are struggling because you don't necessarily have too much stuff, and be real with yourself when you answer that, then maybe the problem isn't so much that you need to, you know, get 20 bags of extra out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's really just a matter of sitting and figuring out where everything should be living so that it's efficient for you. So it's going to be easy to put it back, that people are intuitively going to know, okay, I'm done with that and it goes here. But if you're struggling because there's no place to sit, yeah, and there's no place to sit because all of the pens are overflowing in the container, so you had to put this new package on the chair, then you know your problem isn't necessarily that the things don't have homes. Your problem really primarily is that you have too many. And that really is the underlying rationale and understanding where you need
to go. Well, exactly, because if you know the root of the problem, then you know where you can, well, it's not a fix-all, but
no,
it helps you figure out the steps you need to take.
Yeah. Because if we come in to organize, we have a process we use that is exact from one project to another. But when you're a homeowner that doesn't do this for a living, you really need to approach it from a very different way.
Not only that, but there is something so strong about it not being your stuff.
Yes.
And that's not talked about enough. Like, we are walking into a random person's house. Like, they're not actually, like, we know the people, of course, but we're walking into a random house with random habits, random, you know what I mean? We are just looking at that from,
yeah,
almost like a
very technical business.
Yes. It's
point.
Just, you walk in,
there's
and
no emotion.
We're not like, oh, like their shoes aren't on the shoe shelf. It's like, they don't put their shoes on the shoe shelf, so we probably should figure out some sort of other sit. Like, we're thinking about it, like, how they're living and why they're living that way and what we could implement to make that easier, because that's already how they're living. So
yes,
we're not trying to change these habits. We're trying to work with them.
With the habits.
But when it's your own stuff, like, and I've talked about this before on here because I feel like we can't stress it enough. As a child, I would redo my room all the time, rearrange the furniture, change decor, blah, 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 like once a month, twice a month, all the time. And when I had everything pulled out and furniture was all over the place, I would always feel incredibly overwhelmed. And that's because it was my own stuff. It's so much more difficult, mm-hmm, to edit, even to just decide where it's going,
even
when
just
it's your own stuff.
Decide you're going to do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, I sit and stare at my belongings and not know what to do. And when it's someone else's stuff, it's just almost, it's not immediate, but it's a lot easier to come to a decision because you're looking at it from like a, is
practical,
it
practical?
Yeah, you're
objective.
It's just, yeah, you're looking at it from a completely different point of view, and almost like if you're doing a science experiment, the way that you're, like, we're like hypothesizing how these clients are using their things,
right,
and how they should, like, it's almost like that.
We do
not,
that too.
You're not thinking about it like how they're actually living. You're not like, oh, Sarah.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all. We're like, oh, the hairdryer's over here by her dresser, not over here
in
the bathroom.
So we should get this type of bin where it, but like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But when it's your own stuff, I mean, even for me as someone who does this for a living, I struggle. So I can't even imagine if I didn't know this process, I didn't know, you know what I mean? It would be so difficult.
And I feel like even just understanding the value of it,
mm-hmm,
is even enough to have as an underlying motivator to be like,
totally,
okay, this has gone too far.
And maybe that's why somebody like us would never, I don't want to say let it go too far, but do you almost know what I mean?
I do. I know what you're saying. You're saying because we know that.
The benefits of it.
Yes.
It keeps it on the priority list.
It does.
And not that it's not a priority for other people.
Yes.
But when you don't understand how to do something, like, I'll embarrass myself to help you guys out here for a second. My car is disgusting. It hasn't, no, seriously, it's freaking disgusting. There's a bunch of stuff in there, like a coffee maker. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's dirty, it's gross, blah, blah, blah. That's a big priority for me. Like, I feel terrible every time I get in my car and I'm driving about the state of it. And like, oh, this is gross, you know what I mean? But when I get back home, I'm too eager, and it's freezing, like, it's cold outside. I'm way too eager to go in and put all my stuff down and get comfy and blah, 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 than I am to clean my car. And if it was warm outside, my car would be cleaned. And so
it's a barrier for you.
Exactly.
Because it's cold.
And so what I'm trying to explain is we understand that everyone wants their home to be cleanly, to be tidy, blah, blah, blah. There may be things in the way that are making it feel like that's something that can't happen for you, yeah. making it feel impossible or whatever. Like right now I feel like it's impossible to clean my car. You know what I mean? And I'm probably not going to do it until it's warm enough, if I'm being honest. But that's just an example like of,
let me see. Of identifying your obstacle and being like, okay.
Yeah. And understanding why it's happening for yes. you. And see, then, I know the benefits of having a clean car. I really, really want my car clean, but I'm still not going to do it right now. You know what I mean? Like,
and I feel like that's important too, because that's what allows you to give yourself grace mm-hmm. to be like, okay, I know this isn't ideal, but this is what it is right now. But I also understand
why
yes.
I'm doing it or why it's happening to me. Yeah.
That was a really good analogy, that's actually.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know that a lot of you who are listening are already subscribed to our newsletter, but I'm sure there are other people out there listening that do not already subscribe to our newsletter. You may have noticed, if you do subscribe, that we did not send a December newsletter. We did send out a Christmas greeting, but there was no actual newsletter with that consistent flow that we had. That is because we have been behind the scenes revamping what will be included in the newsletter so that we are able to improve the value that we're providing to you.
Yes.
So the newsletter, we hope you have not felt that it's been a sales pitch ever, that it really has been intended to be value, where we're giving you information that hopefully you can use to help motivate you yes. and give you tools you need. But we are definitely leveling that up.
Yes. We're really excited. It's going to look a little bit different.
We're just really glad to be able to give people free value yeah. so that they can, because we really truly want to help as many people as we can.
And that's why this whole thing started, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it also comes from the understanding that we live here and not everyone else does. And there's tons of other, organizing businesses across the world, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, we'd like to be able to reach other parts of the world.
It would be really great to be able to expand who we can reach.
Yeah.
And to provide the value all across the world instead of just in our own little corner of little New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And we do have, especially in our Love Your Space Insiders Facebook group, we have a lot of people from across North America and even in Europe. I also think it's sort of, we're at this point now where, I mean, we're 5.5 years old now. So we're at a point now where our audience is beyond where we thought our audience mm-hmm. would be. So this is another way that we can reach more people and provide exactly. more value to them. Maybe we can't be in their home, but we can provide them, excuse me, with these resources that they can use to print off.
And that's where I think why we really started doing the podcast and the courses, because our audience really is beyond home organizing definitely. Reach. You know what I mean? So if we can help you guys do this yourselves where we can't be there to do it with you, that's really kind of the goal here. So giving you a step-by-step office reset, if you can print that off and, you know, sit down and do it over the course of a month, a day, a week, however long it takes you, that's really, really great for us. Like, that feels absolutely. Great for us that we're able to do that for you guys. Yeah. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we really hope that you guys signed up for our newsletter if you're not already.
If you aren't subscribed to our newsletter, excuse me, and you would like to, then you can go to our website and there is a newsletter fillable form on the very bottom of the footer. And you can just go in there and input your name and your email address, and that will prompt us to send you a newsletter each month.
Yes, and we should be able to release a January newsletter, mm-hmm. I believe.
Absolutely. And so that'll please be coming soon.
Stay tuned for that and give us any feedback on the podcast yes. or on the newsletter, anything.
Do you like it? What other future topics would you like to hear? Is there something we're doing that is driving you batty? We would love to know. This
yeah,
is
let
only
us know.
Our fourth episode. So, and we've gotten some really great feedback on the others. So we'd like to know how you feel about this one.
And we're having a lot of fun with it. So we hope you guys are too. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and we'll see you.
Happy New Year.
Month. Yes. Happy New Year. And don't stress yourself out with New Year's resolutions. You guys yes. got this.
Be realistic about your goals
yes.
and know what your habits are.
We'll see you next time. Bye.